know the psychology of people, especially when it comes to money. Anything to do with money, people are easy on the trigger, maybe.
Wherever you get your podcasts from, or our own website, prismoftorah.org. This is The Prism of Torah with Rabbi Asaf Aharon Prizman.
Shalom Avrocha. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Pekudei, the last Parsha in Sefer Shmois, we know it summarizes what was done with the Mishkan and how much of all the materials was brought down. And there's a very, very interesting Midrash Rabo at the beginning of the Parsha that tells us what was happening behind the scene that made Moshe Rabbeinu come up and explain how much of each material was used for what. Meaning he waited till the Mishkan was completed to be built, and then he started explaining each thing, how much of each material was brought and what it was used for. And the Midrash explains that once all the work was completed for the Mishkan, now Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to tell you exactly precisely the amount of each material, how much we got, what it was used for, as if he's trying to prove something. Goes on the Midrash to say, why did he do all this cheshbon, all this calculation? Because he heard, word was out on the street, that there were Leitzanei Yisrael, that's the Lashon of the Midrash. There were people that were mocking Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were saying the following, Ben Amram, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Amram, his neck became fatter, because look how much probably he took for himself from the gold and silver. Once he heard this, Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's it. The second I am completing the Mishkan to build it, I am going to give Din and Cheshbon to make sure everyone sees I have a clean name. And there's something very interesting about this Midrash, because one would think it's not like everyone, word was on the street, I say, but it's not really literally like that. There were a couple of Leitzanim over there speaking behind his back about him. So because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu now has to go out and explain every gram of gold, what it was used for. Besides, these people obviously tried to mock him no matter what. If it wasn't this, they'll find another reason to do it, because there wasn't really true base to true grounds for what they were. It wasn't a true accusation. There wasn't base for this accusation towards Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does he have to answer back? As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, you don't even have to answer to the foolish people. Al tan ksil ki'ivalto. Besides, sometimes the mere fact that you answer someone, it shows that you're giving him a bit of credibility. These people deserve no credibility. Besides the fact that there wasn't so much logic in their taina, what they were accusing Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself said at some point, that's it. I don't need more. We don't need more gold and silver. We have enough. And if he was really trying to take for himself, he wouldn't have said that. And besides, Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of money already at that point, because he got the leftover of the Luchos that broke, as it explains in Shmois Rabba. Elamai, we see from here, the infinite Torah has so many ways in teaching us lessons of life. And the lesson over here is the idea of Ve'isem Nekim. We have to have a clean slate, but not only in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also Klape, our fellow Jews. We have to do our utmost that we can to make sure our actions won't be misinterpreted. And the Makol for Ve'isem Nekim, where is the source for this idea? So that we know in Bamidbar Lamed Beis, Kaf Beis, when Bnei Gad and Reuven come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they ask him, please let us live on the other side of the Jordan River. It's way better for our flock. There's a lot of grass and green over here. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, are you serious? You're going to stay over here and we're going to go into war to capture Eretz Yisrael and you're going to stay behind? The only way I'm allowing you to do something like this is if you go, you'll be the first troops going into fight. And then, fine, then you can come and this will be your portion and you'll live over here. And the pasuk used over there is, do this and then you'll be clean. No one will think that you have some ulterior motive why you want to stay over here because you don't want to come and fight in Eretz Yisrael. Make sure you have a clean name and you go and fight first. No one will be able to say anything at that point. And the way the pasuk describes this situation, if you do this, then Ve'isem Nekim, you'll be clean in the eyes of Hashem, Hashem, Yisrael. I.e., a person has to make sure he does everything in his powers to ensure that he doesn't look bad, that he won't be misinterpreted as if he's doing something not the way Hashem would want him to do. And even though his kavanas are good, he has amazing meaning, his intentions are great, and he's doing great. But even for the mere fact that it could be misinterpreted by others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, we learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu, don't do that. Ve'isem Nikim, make sure that if you have to explain that it's not like it, what it looks like, or you have to do some action like Moshe Rabbeinu requested, Negad Min Reuven, come, I want you to be the first troops out there, because it's not going to look good. It's really not going to look good. So too by us. Moshe Rabbeinu is making sure he has a clean name, but I want to take it a step further. When I started to prepare this topic, I realized there's a Mishnah in Shkalim, Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah over there goes to an extreme, and it says, when you come to donate, to give shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash, whatever you do, don't go in there with your tefillin, which we know in those days, even today really, but the mitzvah of tefillin is all day long, not at nights, not on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it is on every day, all day long, and that's what they used to wear. And still, it said, don't wear your tefillin, because if you go with your tefillin to give money, and then, no matter what happens, people may look at you and say, maybe he hid some money in his tefillin. Maybe he took some money. That's the Beis HaMikdash's money. And then, no matter what happens, as we say, it's a lose-lose situation. Because, and this is all in the Mishnah, if he loses money and becomes poor, we'll say, that's why he became poor. Because he actually took money that wasn't his. He took money from the Beis HaMikdash. And if he becomes rich, they'll say, that's why he became rich. Because he took money from the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, no matter what happens, the second is a bit of movement, they're going to associate it because he wasn't Beseder. Even though it's a bit far-fetched if you think about it. What do you mean? He's not even doing something not so normal. He's walking with tefillin. Why should anyone misinterpret that? And that's why the Mefarshim say that over there, the Mishnah in Shkalim, not only does it bring the pasuk we just elaborated on, Ve'isem Nikim, that you should make sure you have a clean name, Me'ashem U'Meisoil, but even more than that, it brings another pasuk that says you have to make sure limtzoi schen b'nei Elokim v'adam, to look favorable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. Isn't that a bit repetitive? What is this pasuk trying to teach us? Elamai, the Mefarshim on the Mishnah over there explain. If we only had v'isem nikim, a person would say to himself, okay, I have to make sure I watch my every move, and any time I do any action that can be misinterpreted, I better make sure that everyone's aware that I'm doing it for the right reason, everything's glat. However, if I am doing everything glat, so just because some people might start thinking a crazy scenario that maybe I'm doing this, why do I have to worry about that? No. In this Mishnah we see, yes, sometimes you do have to worry about that. You have to do your best, even if your action is glat, but it's still, and the action doesn't scream out, maybe he's doing something wrong. That would be enough. We would learn that from V'isim Nikim, that you have to make sure no one can misinterpret your action. But if your action is okay, and it really shouldn't be misinterpreted, but you know the psychology of people, especially when it comes to money, that seems to be the theme over here. Anything to do with money, people are easy on the trigger. Maybe because of the idea called the poisel, b'mumo poisel, meaning anything. We know that a lot of people are vulnerable to money issues, that the Gemara tells us. Rubam begezel, most of the people fall to some extent in gezel. They're more hitter to themselves. No, it's not really called stealing. And hence, you're also opened. It takes one to know one, as they say. Called the poisel, b'mumo poisel. It's very easy to look at someone and try to think, even to an extreme, in an extreme way, and say, maybe taka he stole. And hence, it is our responsibility to do our utmost to make sure we clean our name. We see this through Chazal. This is a huge topic. To make sure you do everything in the best way possible, no one will misinterpret what you're doing. We see this. The Mishnah in Peah says, when you put aside part of your field, Meikara didn't really need to be. You would think it could be any part of the field. No, I want it to be. One of the reasons it has to be in the corner of the field that everyone will know, I didn't steal this. I did the mitzvah of Peah. I left the corner of the field for the poor people to come pick from there. So too, you see, in the Gemara in Bacha says, if there's one shul in the city, during time of davening, make sure you don't pass by the petach, the opening to the shul, because people might think, what is this? He's not davening? Everyone's davening, he's not? On Chanukah, we know that if you have two sides of your house, one facing one direction, let's say north, and another one facing a different direction. So people that walk on the north side, they don't see the other side, but they see that in your opening to the north side, you have no menorah, no chanukiah. then we don't want them to accuse you. So Me'ikar Adin, today is a bit different because a lot of people light inside. You should light on both sides. And this theme goes on and on. And there's many places we can find in Shas that Chazal felt that they even need to say, in this case, make sure you do so-and-so, because we don't want there to be a chshad. We don't want people. We want you to have a clean name. We do not want people to misinterpret it. The Rishonim explain that the main reasons are, A, it's not good for you, that someone will think badly of you. As we know, there is huge impact to Amachshava Vayid, to his thoughts, and we don't want you to have those negative impacts on you. As well, you're causing him to do an Avera, because in his Shulchan Aruch, the law is he should ladunot chalakav zchut. He should always think and judge you positively. And that's a big mitzvah. And we elaborated on that point a long time ago. And we explained that not only is it obvious that it's the right thing to judge your fellow Jew favorably as much as you can, but it's even more than that. When you judge a Jew favorably, you're helping yourself also. As the Maral Midiskin says, because by doing so, you don't get negatively impacted when you see something bad happening. Because you didn't see something bad happening. Because you're telling yourself, no, he's not driving on Shabbos and this is not allowed. He's probably doing a mitzvah when he's driving on Shabbos. Because he's right now going to the hospital to save someone's life. Or because his wife is pregnant and she needs to give birth right now. Pikuach nefesh doche Shabbos and even is a mitzvah. And hence, yes, to summarize this point, even though from the perspective of other Yidins that see what's happening, they have to judge yourself favorably. But on the other hand, you are required to do the best you can to ensure that people will see that what you're doing is good. Even though there's no reason to think you're doing something wrong. But whenever you can, you should do the best to ensure you have a clean name. And that is precisely what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew the psychology of a person. He knew we're dealing with money, gold, silver. Everyone's easy on the trigger to accuse someone when it comes to money. As we see in the world around us, no matter what country you live in, this is all over the place. Just like Chazal tell us, most people fall in the flaw, in the sin of Gezel, and hence they're always watching out, he's probably stealing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, the second he heard even a small rumor, he said, that's it. I have to put my foot down, I have to make sure I have a clean name, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expecting me to do. It's very important, in brackets, to mention, that's, of course, there's balance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live by. And if there's no reason to think that someone should think something wrong of you, you don't have to go out of your way now and prove, I'm innocent. Because the default is, especially if it's not money related, why should someone misinterpret what you're doing if you're not doing anything that triggers that? But if you're doing something slightly that triggers that, or something remotely to do with money, or even something else that you think, yes, I know the psychology of people, there is... I do have a inner feeling. Libi oimeli, my heart is telling me that maybe some people are going to think I'm doing something wrong. Then do everything that is in your capabilities to ensure you have a clean name and ensure you're doing something glad. I had a friend that asked his Rav, there's this minion that's amazing and he daven really long and I can properly concentrate in my davening. The problem is that if I go to that minion, I have to leave every time 5 minutes early. It doesn't look so good. On the other hand, the other minion, I could get there in time. And I can leave in time, but it's really quick. And I can't really concentrate. And it's not the same davening. And also the tzibul's different. I really want to go here, but it's not going to look good that every day I could go 5 minutes early. Excuse the pun, religiously. Every day, 5 minutes late. So the Rav says you should go to that minyan, even though you're leaving 5 minutes early. But ensure that everyone there is aware that that's what the Rav paskin for you. And you're leaving because you're going to lose your job if you don't do so. I would like to end off with a story that screams out how important it is to judge your fellow Jew, and even more than that, your family member, in a positive way. On the other hand, how important it is to be careful what you do, how you act, and what you say, so that it won't be misinterpreted. The following is, of course, a true story. There's a couple that got married. The parents of the girl did so much homework to find the right shidduch. Baruch Hashem, they got someone that they were told was unbelievable, very, very special. Baal Midos, a Talmid Chacham, they were very excited. And so they were willing to help them out as much as they could financially and in other ways. And so they got married. And the week after the Chasana, after the Sheva Brachos, after things calmed down, the parents of the daughter were going on a walk and they said, you know what? We're so bogged down from the Sheva Brachos and everything. Let's just go out to eat, have something small to eat. We never go out to eat. But, and then the father goes for to his pocket and he can't find his wallet. So he says, I guess it's not going to happen this time. And as he does that, finally, he sees the Hassan and Kala, their daughter, and the Hassan. So he goes over to him, oh, this is amazing. I'll just ask him to borrow 100 shekels. He said to him, do you have a 100 shekel note I can borrow? So he gives the 100 shekel note, and he hears him say under his breath to his wife, which is their daughter, I wonder if that's ever going to come back. When they heard that, they were in shock. The parents of this girl were in shock. What? That's Baal Midas? That's a good person? How could he say such a thing? He thinks I'm not going to pay him back? He has a tzad like that? How can that be? That's ridiculous. I cannot believe it. Everyone told us he's such a good Baal Midas. We're finished. They were literally half depressed from this incident. And hence, they called their Rav, or their Mechanech, that they consulted with, Avraham Margalit, and they called him up, and he says, listen, in such a case, I think it's obvious, you have to call him up, confront him, and ask him, what was this all about? If you're not able to ladunoto lekav zchus, to judge him favorably, instead of having hatred and anger in your heart, it's very important you go up to him and you speak to him about it. And so they did. And he said, what chas v'shalom? Of course I didn't. I can understand what you were thinking, but that's not what I meant. I have a hobby that I have a simen. I do some unique squiggle on some shape on the 100 note, the shek, 100 shekel. And I wondered to myself, is this ever going to come back to me? Because money goes around, as we know. I always wonder, is it ever? So that's what I told your daughter. I said, I wonder if this is ever going to come back to me. Avanti, I wasn't talking about you paying me back. And everyone was relieved and everyone was happy. But what can we take away from this story? Now, first of all, they had to judge him favorably. And if they can't, indeed, you have no choice, but you should. It's the right thing to do, to confront the person. Because we want shalom, we know. That's the kli for bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, this other person, he should have thought twice before saying such a statement, ensuring that no one hears him, and also not saying something that can be misinterpreted as if they're not going to pay him back. Yiratzon, that we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha. The importance, the neshama of this din, that we want to make sure that we keep our names clean, not only in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the eyes of our fellow Jews, because that also will ensure we have achdus, we have shalom between one another, and bizchut that will merit for the Shekhinah to reside with us. And imirtzei Hashem, all our enemies will fall in front of our faces.
This concludes another episode of the Prism of Torah. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something valuable. If you did, please subscribe to the podcast and give a 5-star rating. You can also find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts or our own website, prismoftorah.com, where we have a full archive of all our past episodes. We would like to thank Yona Vefa for the recording equipment and Ellie Podcast Productions for handling all our post-podcast productions. Join us next week for another enlightening conversation on the Prism of Torah.